For the first time in his long tenured NHL career, Roberto Luongo shuts out the San Jose Sharks 2-0, and the Florida Panthers head out of San Jose with a victory. And the Sharks goal scoring, well, ay, ay, ay. Something needs to be done soon. Welcome to this edition of Teal Town After Dark. I am, of course, Eric Hura, joined by, last minute by Kevin Lacey. We'll be with you for the next little bit. But, of course, if you want to be part of the show, by all means, use the hashtag TealTownUSA. You can also join us in the YouTube chat on the page or on the app. And you can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, Instagram, and YouTube. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button down below. We do this after every single Sharks game. We haven't missed one since, I think, like March of 2015. And it was probably a lackluster game for that matter, too. But anyways, Kevin Lacey, how are you, bud?
Well, last time you saw me on Teal Town After Dark, my goal light wasn't working. And I guess I really did not need to replace the batteries because I didn't need to use that the whole night. Hi, thanks for having me on, Eric.
Yeah, well, you know, your goal light's not working, not just because of you, but mainly because of the Sharks, to which I say... Yes.
Maybe we had some extra video monitors and called it War Room, then we'd be more engaged in the game.
Well, it's amazing how technology has evolved in the few years of video replay that's gone high def, because if this was 2004, there's no way that's getting called back. Yeah. But it is what it is, folks. That's how we got to deal with it. So let's talk about this game. The Sharks lose 2-0. We'll jump into the chat in just a jiffy, but let's go over the game really quickly. Sharks had one of their That's So Sharks games moments, unfortunately. They really played to the Sharks or to the Panthers level. Just did not look really solid or dominant. And it took them a while to get going. They look like a team that had 3 days off.
Yeah. You know, I was watching, and we've been talking about it quite a bit throughout this season, and I was watching on NHL Network earlier. They mentioned the same thing. The Sharks have almost had too many days off so far. Like, they're too fresh. They're too ripe to play like this. But yet you get into these phases where you're playing so little that you've kind of just fall out of, you know, form, as you'd say in soccer terms. You fall out of form. And the Sharks, I was worried about this a few games ago, and they got the two wins over the weekend against Vancouver and LA, but I haven't liked their game for about a week now. I don't know what you think, Eric.
Yeah, no, I mean, even though the Vancouver game was 5-0, it really had their moments where it was just lackluster. I mean, let's be honest, that 5-0 game was two empty netters and three shorthanded goals, one of which was on a penalty shot at the end of the game. They just have not had the fire, the desire of sorts, in my opinion, like Chris says in the chat, they look like a team with a lackluster offense that we've seen all season. Absolutely. Steve Cropper, too much pasta on their days off.
You say Chris Edwards said that? Sorry?
No, Steve Cropper.
Steve Cropper said that.
Yeah.
About the lackluster offense.
Yeah. Sleepy Mofo, Jumbo looks slower than usual. Sharks keeping quiet about the series of his knee. You know, I'm starting to get concerned now. I think he rushed it a little bit. And I wonder how much that really hinders them.
I did. I tried to let everyone know this off season that even though Thornton was playing in training camp and playing, well, he didn't play preseason games, but he was in training camp. I saw him off ice and he was very much hobbled.
Yep.
And he did not look like a guy who was ready to play hockey, but I mean, he's a gamer, as they say. He's a gamer, and he's going to give it his all. And I mean, Thornton hardly ever misses time due to injury. But yeah. I mean, that's like you said, Eric. That might be just pushing it too much.
But it's something that you got to keep an eye on. Tonight, he played 1934. You know, he had two takeaways, a giveaway, but no shots on goal. I mean, he was out there. He played almost 2 minutes of power play time for the two power plays the Sharks had tonight. So he was out there and trying to contribute. And, you know, it's tough to say, and it's tough to, you're at a crossroads with Jumbo, but like Gen X said in the chat, maybe he was 3 years past his best buy date.
One of the things I'm noticing with Thornton, though, or at least I noticed tonight, I don't know if I've noticed the trend overall, but Thornton had very little room to work with. Like, it seemed like he was always caught in the middle of a triangle of Panthers, either back checkers or four checkers all night. And Thornton's definitely not the fleetest of foot already. So he's not going to be skating his way out of three defenders with the puck. So something may need to change. Well, you know what? The Sharks aren't scoring goals. So something needs to change with the offensive setup, something with the strategy, something with the plays they're setting up. But I mean, Thornton shouldn't be getting triple covered at any time, let alone at 38 years old.
But, and that's the thing, and Chris says it in the chat, Jumbo is aging before our eyes. Pavelski isn't as good of a player without premium Thornton, and never has been. And Pavelski's been really high with Jumbo, but he's been decent when without premium Jumbo.
He's been a 25 goal scorer without Thornton, but
right.
40 goal scorer with him.
Right. That's my point.
Yeah.
let's keep going with the recap here. Colton Seaver. I hope I got that right. I think that's how
yes,
I
got it right. Yes, good job, man.
Thank you. From Brickley and Trocheck, banged home a rebound, past Joner a minute into the second period. That ends up being the game-winning goal, his fourth on the year, makes it 1-0 Florida. And that was pretty much it for the second period. The third period, after Sharks had... after the Sharks had a offsides call on the Tim Heed goal, which was legitimate. I mean, I get the frustration if you're at the arena. I get that. And in not to make excuses, Kevin, but you know, on the Jumbotron, you might not be able to tell. It was that close, but when you have it, you know, 60 frames per minute at 1080p. on your monitor or on your television that's near you, closer than say halfway around the rink, you know.
Yeah, I did receive a tweet from someone. I don't know if he was at the game or what. I didn't even quite understand his tweet, but it was in some regards to the Jumbotron. So I don't know, like what you're saying, I don't know what speeds they're showing the replay at, what angle they're showing at, because there were definitely a couple angles that seemed inconclusive, but there was that one that NBC Sportsnet showed tonight that was, it was offside. It sucks. Yep. It was a heck of a shot. I mean, I briefly tweeted out before the goal got called back that the net was writhing in agony from receiving the puck because holy moly, what a shot.
Yeah, no, that was a shot, and you could. If you're new to the game and you ever seen how a stick can flex, that you can use that video right there as to see how much a stick can flex on a shot. Let me see if I can pull it up really quick here and screen share it. There we go. I gift it on at Teal Town USA. Make sure you follow Teal Town USA on Twitter. I try to, when I'm at home for games, I try to make sure I get some of the most important plays out there. From this angle, it's the one that they looked at, but it was so freaking close that they had to get it on the offside. Yeah. So it's a tough one to call. I can't blame them if it was so close. But zooming in on that slow-mo replay, you know, that's what did it in for them. Let's see what we got in the chat.
While you're looking up at the chat, I've argued against instant replay in terms of, like, if you can't see it by, you know, a regular slow-mo replay, you need to let whatever call stand. That one actually is the argument where you could say you can really slow it down and determine distinctively that that was no goal. So
sure.
In this regard, the replay worked.
Yep. And it worked to the T, and that's, I mean, you want to get it right, because I mean, we've seen it time and time again where it hasn't gone right against the Sharks. So you want to eventually get it right, and hopefully karma will come back to haunt them eventually. So on to the third period, and again, we'll go back at it again. There was pressure in front of the net, and you know, Hurdle thought he had a loose puck. It was under Luongo, and it pokes through before the net was dislodged. Looked like a good goal, but the call on the ice was a good goal. Florida challenges again, and they get it, disallowed. What did you take on that call?
Okay, Eric. Okay, Sharks fans. I'm going to play the part of villainous Sharks fan. Are you really a Sharks fan kind of thing here?
How dare you?
I was okay with both calls against the Sharks tonight. And for this particular goal, I'm going back to the playoffs. Was it the 2014 playoffs?
2014, game 6 against the Kings.
At the time, and I still maintain it, if Justin Williams is not allowed to push the goalie, in that case Alex Stalock, into the net with his stick to score a goal, why is this any different? And to me, this was the exact same play. So unless there's some weird circumstance where they can determine by video review that Tomáš Hertl was pushed into Luongo by Ian McCaution, there was no way that goal should stand. Luongo's look of bewilderment, which was quite a bit. Yeah. That said it all. And sorry, but I really did believe that that goal should be called back for goalie interference. What'd you think, Eric?
Here's my thing. And I'm showing you the tweet that I got earlier. Here's my thing. You want to get it right, first and foremost, but you also want to be consistent. And if you're not consistent, how are you supposed to know what is allowed and disallowed? Yeah. To me, that looks like there can be interference, but if the puck is loose, they have every damn right to go after the puck.
Yeah. Yep. What is Hurdle supposed to do in that is the argument.
Right. Is he supposed to let up? No, of course not. You wouldn't want him to let up. That's the most important thing. You don't want to let up. You keep going until that whistle blows. And so, in my opinion, they did what they were supposed to do. But the question is that if he's supposed to poke at the puck and Luongo moves with the puck, how would he be considered interfering with the goalie? So it's a fine line as to what they're supposed to be doing with that. And I'll just go from there. I'll put it this way. To me, he's after the puck. You get, and we've seen it before. I say you call it a goal.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Okay. All right. I think it was rightfully overturned, but if he's not in the, if that play doesn't happen in the crease, then I think there's no argument. That's a goal.
Oh, sure. At all. Absolutely.
But, and I hate this whole argument about the goalie has basically free reign if he's touched kind of thing. Like, but the fact that it's right there, I don't fault the players for doing their job, but it's also one of those things. Like if you're trying to kick the puck to your, this might be a poor analogy. If you're trying to kick the puck to your stick and you accidentally kick it in, should it still be allowed? No, it shouldn't be allowed. Mm-hmm. But, the hurdle is going, trying to knock the puck into the net. He succeeded at his job. He just happened to go right through Roberto Luongo's leg to do it. So it's a tricky one. I can understand the fans being upset with that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah, absolutely. I think that one more than the Heed one, the they Heed should one. Be upset with.
Yeah. The worst, sorry to cut you off. The worst part about this whole thing was after the second non-goal tonight, that killed it for the Sharks, in my opinion, because I actually thought the Sharks played very well to start the third period. I thought they were moving their butts off, had a lot of puck control. And then when that goal was disallowed, that pretty much ended the night for the Sharks.
See, I'll agree with you that they started the period up pretty well because they had that power play going on. Mm. But at the same time, you had, I thought after the disallowed goal, they were coming on strong.
Okay.
But I think, however, when Nick Bjugstad, you know, made up for that defensive breakdown by the Sharks at 12:23 of the third from McGinn and Verbata to make it 2-0, I think that's where it ended. And unfortunately, this is kind of that typical Sharks game where they've played pretty well. Played fairly well. However, they gave away the puck a lot tonight. They didn't generate too many scoring chances, but they were in the game. However, one bad play that goes against the Sharks gets them off their game. They're psychologically out of it. And then next thing you know, boom, the opponent takes advantage of it. They get a goal, and now they're in deep trouble. And that's where we usually see the teaser goal that I always like to call, where they get that one goal where they make you like, okay, hang on, I'm going to watch this game for a little bit. And then it happened.
Yeah. It was an overly frustrating night. And you know, just go back to Saturday again, I guess, you know. For the Nick Bjugstad goal killed me for the fact that I was like, of course it's Nick Bjugstad. I feel like I always hear good things about this guy, and every time I see him, he does absolutely nothing, and I wonder why people love him so much. And, well, great play. Oh, by the way, though, on that Bjugstad goal, we cannot talk about that without talking about how poor of a back check that was by the forwards. Because it ended up becoming a 3-on-2, and Couture, who was the guy all the way down near Luongo when that play started, was the closest forward to the play. Hurdle was coasting the entire way through, and Donskoy started to go, but he read it just late. And really, I don't know if that was Donskoy's guy to take in the first place, but oh man, there could have been more of an effort by all three of those guys get back at.
And here's the funny thing, Kevin, if the Panthers were to have lost that challenge on the offside, goal would have counted.
Yeah.
And they would have had a penalty on a power play. You know, if it were last year, they wouldn't have been able to challenge that because they would already have used their challenge. So that was good, smart coaching off of Bob Bugner. And I'll ask you this.
Oh, go ahead. I was going to make a joke.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I guess we know who got the replay challenges right last season on the Sharks bench.
But yeah, no, it was one of those things. And the irony that, you know, somebody who tries to challenge multiple times and it gets it right. and here's the other thing I think, too. Bugner knows this team and knows the tendencies of this team. That had to play a role tonight, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think I definitely think so. I think that it helps for Bugner to know the defensive side because, I mean, the Sharks have been so wonderful defensively, and they weren't bad defensively tonight outside of the back checking on that second goal against. But, I mean, they gave up two goals against tonight, and the offense didn't show up, at least officially. But Bugner has that in where he can teach his offensively rich forward core, like, this is what you need to do to get by guys like Brent Burns and guys like Mark Edward Vlasic and so on. So I do think that played into a factor of knowing their tendencies and how to exploit them.
Definitely. Kind of going through the chat here. Players know who the leaders are. It's more of an honor and recognition thing. I'm assuming that's from captaincy.
Yeah, there's been some chatter in the chat room about Pavelski's captaincy and whatnot. I don't really think that needs to be under fire, but maybe a closed, if this continues, maybe a closed door meeting just to figure out what's going on with the offense.
Well, yeah, they need to do something. I mean, obviously, I mean, again, we throw out those crazy three goals at the end of the Vancouver game, and you have tonight 0 goals, Sunday night in LA 2 goals. You throw out those 3 goals, you had 2 goals against Vancouver, and then you had 1 goal against Tampa. So that's 1, 3, 5 goals in your last 4 games, let alone 0 for 2 on the power play. So if you can hear that faint drum from San Jose, that's AJ's power play drum. This power play was top 10 at one time this season. Now it's dropped down to 25
Yeah.
in the league, which is scary as heck.
Not good. I think Chris JWS, by the way, Chris JWS, this is an awesome tweet that you sent me of this. I don't know what this is too. I'm guessing it's because I'm a bad Sharks fan and I thought that both goals should have been disallowed. I don't know. But Chris JWS says that the Sharks don't have a number one offensive line. And I think, and I don't know how I feel about that, but I do think there's an argument to be made in favor of that. I definitely think the Sharks have 2 third lines, maybe even 3 third lines, and maybe a second or maybe a 1B first line. I don't know, but the Sharks gonna have to change some things up. I still think the Joes should be permanently split up.
Yeah, they're not like twins or anything. Just because they have the same name doesn't mean they can be like the team up in British Columbia and don't need to split them. I mean, come on now.
Yeah, but I had a coworker today ask me who's the Sharks' best player this season. I said Logan Couture, and without hesitation.
Oh, yeah.
And there should we need hesitation. We need more hesitation as to who the best Sharks player is. It shouldn't be that cut and dry, Logan Couture. Keep doing what you're doing, number 39, but somebody, a few guys need to catch up to Couture here.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. As we get the trade winds going in the chat, the Ice Hawk 2006 of Vlasic super salty about the disallowed goal. Which one? That's the problem. I can't blame him for either one. I mean, seriously, Nick Neff Tepitz. I can see the argument of our vets, but remember, Marlowe got a 3-year contract, $6.5 million per. They could get more than we think.
Yeah,
It depends. I mean, to be honest, if you are going to move Jumbo, you have to, one, find a good buyer. Two, yes, you can sucker Montreal into getting a first and three players, of course. Like they were saying, that's great. But the thing is, what value would Joe get right now? Or Jumbo, I should be more specific. I don't know. I wonder if there's any value out of anyone right now on this team. And unfortunately, so far you're only seeing, you have the youngsters, but the youngsters need to step it up. And that's what's been, that was what we said going into the year, the youngsters had to step it up. And so far, Donskoy hasn't been bad. Hurdle's been okay. Timo,
This is where I think the Sharks, and I don't want to get too far into this because we talk about this all the time, but I think this is where we really get into the Sharks drafting and going with safe picks, as people say, and whatnot. The Sharks get NHL players, NHL caliber players, but they don't generally draft superstar players. And it's not, I think that the Sharks draft, Tim Burke and the scouting staff get kind of a raw deal as far as when people say they don't go for the big pick. Nikolai Goldobin was a huge gamble. It didn't pay off. That's the problem.
No.
The gambles that the Sharks have made haven't paid off into 40 goal scorers, 45 goal scorers and whatnot. So right now, the players that you're mentioning, Eric, they're all players who they can contribute, but I don't know what their ceiling is. And I don't think their ceiling is that high.
Yeah,
offensively.
And that's the thing, and that's where not to start this conversation again, but that's where they need to be developing. So
yeah,
they need to develop that talent in there. Kyle, I totally got your DM. I see what you mean, but the flex is how he gets a lot of that shot into it, and unfortunately because of that flex, you know, it doesn't get right into the blue line. Instead, it comes just to quote AJ Strong, scouch outside the blue line for an offside. Chris JWS, you're making me jealous. Timmy's every morning and freaking poutine. I do not like you right now at the moment. You know, now they're talking about Dell in the chat for trade value. I mean, you can, but that would mean that you're bringing up a Grossnick.
You can, yeah, and Grossnick has not been very good for the Barracuda, although Grossnick hasn't been very bad for the Barracuda either. The Barracuda defense, which this team is the complete bass-ackwards team from last year, where they should have been so horrendous defensively, and they were so amazing defensively. This year, they should have been so rock-solid defensively, and they're a nightmare in their own zone. So Grossnick's getting no luck. So I don't know. Dell might be the trade chip. He really might be, especially, you know, hello, Vegas, or I know there's another team, I can't think of who, that just lost their goalie. But
that's like a nightly occurrence for Vegas. What are you talking about?
I think Vegas, side tangent, although they won tonight, I think Vegas is still secretly hoping Max Lagasse gets hurt because just so they can get someone else in there. But
jeez. Yeah, we'll talk about Vegas in the NHL wraparound in just a jiffy. But a couple of things from Victor Dahlgren. Eric Holla has more goals than everyone except Couture. That wouldn't surprise me. Just to piss off AJ even more. And here's one that's near and dear to your hearts. Think Sobotka tops everyone except him and Donskoy.
Oh, Sobotka. How many days away is he from scoring against the Sharks?
Well, when do we play Sobotka?
Yeah, I don't know yet.
Yeah, see? That might be right up there.
There was one positive tonight, folks. Dryden Hunt did not score his first NHL goal against the Sharks.
Yes, there you go.
when Randy Hahn mentioned him on the broadcast tonight, I went, Dryden Hunt got recalled? And I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, when did that happen? Oh, two games ago. Oh no.
Oh gosh. Yes, of course. That would have been totally the case. So to sum it all up, Sharks lose 2-0 to the Florida Panthers. They outshot them 35-28, and the faceoff circle was fairly close to even, but the Sharks had the edge 52-49. That's 101% according to NHL.com. over 2 on the power play for the Sharks tonight. The first one didn't look really great. The second one's a little bit better. 0-1 for the Panthers. So the PK did its job as usual. Hits 22-19 in favor of Florida. 18-12 in the block shots in favor of Florida. Sharks, of course, it's the holiday season, so they were having a giveaway. And I'm not talking about the ones that they give the fans. 20-14 in favor of the Sharks in the giveaway account.
That's why my hockey team keeps throwing the puck away a lot the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's the holiday season.
It's the holiday season. An interesting thing here, and this is where we'll wrap up on this game. Brent Burns, 30-17 of ice time tonight.
What?
30-17 of ice time tonight for Brent Burns.
I can't
Burns.
Believe Brent Burns only got 13 minutes and 17 seconds of ice time.
No, 3-0, Kevin.
What? No, for real, 30-17.
30-17. Oh, the next closest were Vlasic at 20-02 and Heat at 20-36. I mean, Burnsy is pressing hard for that first goal. And I think also the team is trying to get him that first goal a little too much. I think yes. I remember a game, I think I mentioned, I think it was in the second period, Meyer actually passed on taking a shot to get it over to Burnsy, and Burnsy couldn't reach the pass in time and just basically broke down the offensive attack for the Sharks. Guys, let's see, how many times have we said this, especially on the power play? When you have a chance to shoot, take the shot, for crying out McLeod. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I think I mentioned in the chat earlier, and I now I can't remember, someone made a really funny comment in the chat about it, but I think Brent Burns is like you said, they're trying to set him up too much. I think Burns needs to stop taking every opportunity to shoot, because 90% of his shots this season have been weak, terrible seeing eye chances, and there's no traffic in front, and it's just like every goalie, except for maybe Vegas's ninth string goalie, should be able to stop the shots that Burns has been taking this season. So shot selection is key there, and so don't just give Burns the shot, the puck all the time, and maybe that's the key to fixing the offensive woes, is to select your passes to Burns better as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's welcome those of you who finish watching Brody and Kyle on NBC Sports California. This is Teal Town After Dark, your live and interactive Sharks post-game show right here on the YouTube. Of course, as always, you can be a part of the show. You can be part of the show if you want to have the freaking graphic work. That'd be great.
Just right? Say Finteract. Finteract!
Finteract with us, or yes, you can just join the conversation.
Yeah.
Just remember, conversation actually worked throughout the 2016 playoffs, so just remember that. You can join us in the YouTube chat on the page or the app. You can always use hashtag TealTownUSA or at TealTownUSA on the Twitter machine. But make sure you Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, YouTube, especially the YouTube. Please subscribe. Please subscribe. We're almost at 600 subscribers. Tell your friends. Tell your friends who probably won't even watch the show to watch the show and subscribe, because we would appreciate it very much.
Let me see if I can tell your wife, tell your kids, and tell your husband, because they be subscribing everybody up in here.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. Moving onward. Let's see. Yes, Chris, you will have a whole new studio next time you're on. Hurry, hurry, please. Boy.
So, Eric, the next game is against Boston. That's Hockey Fights Cancer Night. Am I right?
That is right. That is right.
I see you got your Hockey Fights Cancer swag on.
I
do as well. So it'll be Lavender Town After Dark. Am I correct?
I think I need to make a logo for that one for Saturday night. Yes, Lavender Town After Dark. It is Hockey Fights Cancer Night at the Tank on Saturday. They are encouraging everyone to wear your lavender to the game. Make sure you do so. We're also getting the rally towels. There's also the mystery pucks. If you remember, the mystery pucks do go to worthy cause through the Sharks Foundation. I can already see myself as already AOLing a little bit, so forgive me there. But anywho, yes. So yes, Laurel, fuck cancer. We won't count that one in the Twitter jar. Laurel, we love you. We hope you're hanging in there tonight and hoping we can distract you a little bit. With that being said, let's take the NHL wraparound, won't we?
Yes, let's, because there were some interesting happenings tonight and last night.
Well, let's go back to last night. We'll talk about that interesting little brouhaha between the Flames and the Red Wings that ended up giving at least one person a 10-game suspension. What did you take from that?
So I watched what happened before I actually read about what happened, and what I saw was the Flames very frustrated and trying to just start anything they could. And since Luke Witkowski was skating in the general vicinity of Brett Kulak, they decided, let's drop the gloves with him. Witkowski beat the crap out of Brett Kulak. But then taunted Travis Hamonic, who was talking smack at him. And basically the whole thing came down to me was the Flames were instigating every possible chance they could, but it doesn't give Witkowski the right to jump back onto the ice and try and start something. So 10 games deserved, but Matthew Tkachuk, love tap to the back of his leg. Yeah, it wasn't much, but I'd give him a game because how many times in his 14-month career have we talked about Tkachuk toeing that line? Like, someone needs to send him a message.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's more than one game. I could see maybe two.
Is he going to get anything, though? I mean, I figured they'd do something today if they would.
Well, I know he's got a hearing, but we'll
see. Oh, he does? Yes. Oh!
So well, that'll be quite interesting.
Yeah.
So that was last night where the Red Wings beat up on the Flames, and I think it ended up being 8-2.
Yeah, two more power play goals after that
whole Yeah. But we go to tonight's action, and in Toronto, William Nylander, exhausted, I think he was out there for like over a minute, gets the game-winning goal. He barely could celebrate because he was exhausted. Gets the game-winning goal in overtime in a classic goalie duel as the Leafs beat the Devils 1-0. Good end-to-end action, including the Devils had a power play in overtime as well. Yeah.
Great saves. The final minute, both goalies were just kind of save after save after save, and then the goal by Nylander is just like, oh! Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Where they stopped virtually everything except for one shot, and that was the game-winning goal. You know where they didn't stop every shot on goal? It was in Brooklyn tonight, where the Islanders beat the Hurricanes 6-4. Barzal had a goal and two assists. Clutterbuck with a shorty. Letty, Bailey with a power play goal. Boychuk and Eberle rounded out the scoring for the Islanders, while Lindholm, Hanifin, Ryan and Aho were the ones who got on the board for Drew Weber's Carolina Hurricanes, who go to 7-6-4. Drew Weber's
last place Carolina Hurricanes.
And the Islanders go to 10-6-2 on the year. Ladies and gentlemen, it is November 16th, 2017, and the Arizona Coyotes, aka the Desert Dogs, have their first regulation win. They beat the Montreal Canadiens in Montreal 5-4. At this moment, TSN 690 in Montreal is essentially still taking calls on the post-game show.
I can imagine.
And probably calling for Bergevin's head right now.
Oh, my. I mean, they're even calling for Carey Price's head, so you know how bad it is in Montreal.
Yeah, they want to start a rebuild, if that's a shocker. Richardson, Dvorak, Reeder, all second period goals for the Desert Dogs. Stefan and Fisher were the two goals on the power play, mind you, that eventually ended up winning the game for the Coyotes. For the Montreal Canadiens, Gallagher, Byron, Morrow, and Shea Weber in a crazy second period there. But overall, the Canadiens go to 8-10-2. The Desert Dogs go to 3-15-3. The Sharks' 71 loss record is still up for grabs. In the nation's capital of Canada, the Penguins beat the Senators 3-1 with Hornquist, Gensel, and Shane getting goals for the Penguins, while Peugeot gets his second on the year for the Senators as they go to 8-4-5, while the Penguins go to 11-7-3. Did you see the NHL 100 Classic sweaters that came out just a couple of days ago?
I did actually, because Hockey Jerk and I were having a conversation about next season's Ottawa Senators logo, and then those jerseys came out, and I thought, do you have that graphic up?
Oh, I can throw it up really quick.
Yeah, what'd you think, Eric?
I like the sweaters. I think they could have gone a little more retro on it, but it definitely does have some homage to the past on here. There we go.
Does it have what the Red Wings and Maple Leafs ones did last year? How it had like the cup years in the silver lining?
Yes, they do. They awesome. Both do, which is really cool. Nice touch. Montreal's is pretty clean and sweet. I love that Ottawa jersey. I just wish it had the bottom stripes as well to kind of replicate the
Montreal.
Their old black third jersey and the cream jersey they wore the quote unquote outdoor game in Vancouver.
Yeah.
But that, I think those are pretty awesome. The ones I'm looking forward to are the Winter Classic ones between Buffalo and the Rangers, and curious as to what the Caps and Leafs have for the stadium series game, since it's a military style. So just that'll be interesting.
Since you mentioned that real quick, since Ottawa is getting a new logo in new jerseys next season, I wouldn't mind seeing that color scheme for them. I mean, it's basically the same color scheme, but with the silver. I think it'd be a cool nod to the former Silver Seven. Yes. I think it'd be really sweet if they go with those four colors. So I'd be for it if that something like that became their permanent jersey.
Absolutely. In the chat, before we get back, percentage that Marc Bergevin is fired before the end of the season. What are you going to say?
Well, I have a track record of getting coaches fired. I don't know if it works for general managers, but Marc Bergevin, at this point, I will say 65%. Yes.
I'm kind of right with you. I would say 65% as well. So that would be quite interesting for sure if that happens. Moving onward around the NHL on this wraparound, Tampa Bay. Holy crap, man. My God.
Did they score less than 5 goals a game tonight?
No, they scored 6.
Wow.
Stamkos with 2 goals, including a power play. Sergachev, Point, and Dachin and Kucherov round out the scoring for the Tampa Bay Lightning as they beat the Dallas Stars 6-1 in Ben Bishop's return to Tampa Bay. As the Lightning go to 15-2-2, the Stars go to 9-9-1. Stamkos with 33 points. We might have a 100-plus point score in the NHL.
Can we just soundbite what I said last year about Tampa Bay is winning the Cup, Stamkos is winning the Hart Trophy? Can we just, like, say I said it this year? Like, can you do some kind of video audio editing for that?
Sure, I'll get right on that.
Man, oh man, that team.
Oh, man. Speaking of craziness, the Nashville Predators, it was 3-0. They lose to the Minnesota Wild as the Wild score four in the third period in a span of 5 minutes and 54 seconds. They beat the Nashville Predators 6-4. Dumba, Niederreiter, Suter, Staal, Zucker, Spurgeon, all for the Wild, while Johansson gets his first of the year, Roman Josi his fifth, Ekholm his third, that one was a shorty, and Arvidsson his third at 57 seconds of the...
Good job, Victor. Your team lost, but good job, Victor.
Yeah. Wild go to 9-7-2. Predators go to 10-6-2 on the campaign. In Winnipeg, the Jets...
Oh, dear.
...beat the Flyers 3-2 in a shootout. Perreault, Scheifele with the goals for the Jets, while Voracek and Couturier were the ones getting the goals for the Flyers. However, none of that really mattered because...
Gee, I can't believe what's going to happen next. What are you going to say next?
Yeah, Gudas. Yeah, and I get that Perreault was taking a liberties behind your back here, but let's be real here. I don't think you can do a two-handed slash on the back of the head. I'm sorry.
No. And it's another thing with Radko Gudas. I have a tweet that I posted 13 months ago up right now on the screen that says the NHL needs to hold the same precedence with Radko Gudas as they did with Rafi Torres. This guy doesn't learn. The guy's already been, I think, suspended twice since this tweet and now is facing another suspension for this. Like, can we get him more than two games, please? This is absolutely ridiculous that this guy is even playing in the league at this point, given all the rest of the stuff that goes on.
If he doesn't, to me, if he doesn't get double digits, I will be irate.
Yeah. I mean, Witkowski got 10 again, deservingly, got 10 for jumping back onto the ice and not really doing much, but still 10 for that. Like,
But the 10 is automatic. I mean, so
It is. And this isn't even the worst thing that Gudas has done. But oh my goodness, how does this guy get away with everything? Game misconducts don't mean anything to him.
Yeah. Victor Dahlgren, Stamkos on pace for 150 after a quarter season. Yes. Yes, he is.
To make up all the points that he missed the last couple of years because of injury. So
yeah, no kidding. Right. Right. Yeah, that's crazy. But it'll be interesting. He should at least have an in-person hearing, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did. In Denver tonight, Colorado 6, Capitals 2, Gabriel Landeskog with his hat trick, along with Nathan MacKinnon, Colin Wilson, and Mikko Rantanen, all scoring for the Colorado Avalanche as Connolly and Kuznetsov get goals for the Caps as the Caps go to 10-9-1. They still haven't gotten out of their funk just yet. The Avs, however, at 9-7-1, trying to make some waves.
Meh. Meh. I'm still not sold on the Avs, but hey, I mean, so far so good. This has been an interesting, just a really weird season. You want to talk about parity.
Well, let's talk about this. You know, yes. The Oilers beat the Golden Knights 8-2 the other night.
That's what I mean.
And tonight they lose 4-1 to Vladimir Sobotka and the St. Louis Blues.
My pick this season for the President's Trophy, the St. Louis Blues.
Yes. Sobotka with a shorty, Steen with a power play goal, and then two goals from Shen. From Braden Shen.
Yeah.
And within a minute 40, which is impressive. The Blues go to 14-5-1 on the year. They have 29 points. The Oilers still struggling with 16 points at 7-10-2. Strome gets his third on the year on a power play. And that's it for Alberta's team. Not counting Calgary, but in Vancouver, the Golden Knights had a 2-0 lead. They let the lead slip away, but then they come back to beat the Canucks 5-2. David Perron, Carlson, Eric Howell. Hope they did you well, AJ. Corsi God, Jonathan Marchessault, and Riley Smith all get the goals for the Golden Knights as Maxim Legas. I'm so used to want to say Manny Legacy.
Yeah.
Legacy gets the win for the Knights, and Brock Besser and Rockets favorite Bo Horvat both get the goals for Vancouver as Markstrom takes the loss. Canucks go to 9-8-2 on the year. The Knights go to 11-6-1 and gain some ground on the Sharks in Los Angeles. The Golden Knights.
How many games were there?
There were a lot. This is the last one besides the Sharks. Bruins 2, Kings 1, McAvoy, Chara for the Bruins. This time Chara scored for the Bruins as Drew Doughty scored a power play goal for the Kings, where I'm sure he played 45 minutes of the game. Hudobin gets the win.
I think Brent Burns played 45 minutes of that game too, for the amount of ice time he played in the Sharks game.
Hey-oh. The Kings go to 11-6-2. The Bruins go to 7-7-4. We already told you about the Panthers and Sharks. So right now, as of this moment, here are the standings in the Pacific Division.
They're still very weird to look at.
Yeah, it's still weird to look at. The Kings, with 19 games played, have 24 points. The Vegas Golden Knights are in second place with 23 points. The Sharks clinging onto the number three spot at 10-7-0 with 20 points. Calgary at 20 points with 10-8-0 with one more game in hand for the Sharks. Vancouver's played 19. They're at 20 points at 9-8-2. The Ducks are, believe it or not, they're in sixth place at 19 points.
I was going to say, they're in hell. They just lost another player, Hampus Lindholm, to injury.
Yeah, it's crazy. The Oilers at 16 points at 7-10-2, and the Desert Dogs at 3-15-3 with 9 points. They are the last team in the NHL to not hit double digits in points. And with
they at least got a regulation win.
Yes, yes. Sleepy mofo. No, Puckeye 14. Wish there was an imitation jar besides a swear jar. Now. Come on. I'm still learning to count. Yes, I can count a potato like Dustin Brown would do.
Jenix, Jenix says it's Legace, which is what I keep saying. However, I've been told, and they keep saying on the broadcast, that it's Legace.
Say it, and I've heard both.
Yeah, so. Until I get that NHL announcing position where I can just straight up ask him, we'll go with either.
You know what? Just call everybody Guccio.
Oh, that's going into a deep, dark hole now.
No, we won't. All right. So coming up, as we see the Boston Bruins on Hockey Fight Cancer Night, they played a great game earlier in the year. What do you expect from the Bruins?
I expect what we just saw tonight on the box score you read of the Kings. Their defense is going to do everything for them. Their defense will be stopping the Sharks' anemic offense. Hopefully not, and their defense will be the only ones putting up goals. So hopefully the Sharks forwards, or hell, the Sharks' own defensemen can get some goals past Tuukka Rask or whoever is going to be playing a net for them. Because basically it's going to be a D versus D kind of game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's always exciting when Boston comes into town. I wish I could attend on Saturday. But yeah, always a good game.
Mm-hmm. That would be wicked awesome if you were able to.
Oh, no.
Yes. Oh, boy. Anywho, with that.
Hopefully, no more Danton Heinen shorthanded goals. I mean, he can only get his first NHL goal against us once. So yeah.
That's true. Hopefully, that's all. So, yeah. Anywho, with that being said, we'll wrap this up. In case you missed anything or you want to hear this crazy show one more time, you can do so by hitting TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, SoundCloud, freaking graphic. You know, I should have these things.
iTunes, right? Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn,
YouTube.
YouTube.
It's all on there at TealTownUSA.com. With that being said, final thoughts, Mr. Lacey.
Sharks need to snap out of this. They need to snap into a Slim Jim and snap out of this. They need a little spice. They need a little excitement, and they need to get their offense going here because, again, the something needs to spark. And if it's not Brent Burns, someone else needs to figure it out because stop relying on Brent Burns, guys. It's not happening yet, but just focus on something else. I'm at Kevin Lacey 22. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Of course, Kevin. Thank you for being on. I'll leave you with this. And longtime Sharks fans will know this. Hi, I'm so-and-so. For the billionth time this year, the Sharks Foundation has partnered up with several organizations to develop the Goals program.
Yes, I knew you were going with that.
Granting opportunities to advance, learn, and succeed. For every goal the Sharks score, a donation will be made to the Sharks Foundation to help the youth in our community. The Sharks would like to thank, insert advertiser here, as a partner in the Goals program. And this is the more important part, folks. In life, as in hockey, it takes goals to win. And, you know, Sharks, we like to help out the kids in the community, and we also like to win too. We've been doing pretty good with the wins, but let's step up the goal scoring just a bit. All right. With that being said, keep it real, keep it teal,
and lavender.
And lavender. Good night, everyone. We'll see you Saturday at the tank.